Good morning. Good to see you in worship today. What does commitment look like? Commitment is a big part of life, is it not? School and work involve commitment. We expect commitment in friendships and in marriage. And there is a commitment that's also expected when it comes to matters of faith. Why does commitment matter so much? Especially when it comes to Jesus. Today we're reminded of Jesus' own words and the subject matter of commitment. And so as we build on that focus this morning, we ask the Lord to bless us as we hear his word, the spoken word, and also through song. This too is a day the Lord has made. We have reason to
rejoice and be glad.
And to remind us of that, we turn our attention to our opening hymn in the red hymnal, hymn 367. Please stand as we continue on page 3 of our service bulletin. We worship today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Dear friends, let us approach God with a true heart and confess our sins, asking him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to forgive us. Lord of life, I confess that I am by nature dead in sin, for faithless worry and selfish pride, for sins of habit and sins of choice, for the evil I have done and the good I have failed to do. You should cast me away from your presence forever. O Lord, I am sorry for my sins, Forgive me for Jesus' sake. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. In His great mercy, God made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in our sins. Hear the word of Christ through His called servant. I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the well-being of all people everywhere, that they may receive from you all they need to sustain body and life, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the spread of your life-giving gospel throughout the world, that all who are lost in sin may be brought to faith in you, hear our prayer, O Christ. For patience and perseverance in this life, that we may not lose the hope of heaven as we await your return, hear our prayer, O Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord of life, live in us that we may live for you.
Come to your
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Let your continual mercy, O Lord, cleanse and defend your church. And because it cannot continue in safety without your help, protect and govern it always by your goodness. Please be seated. We're at the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, and our first reading for this Sunday comes to us from the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter, pointing out the fact that God puts us in positions to maximize our relationship with Him. We have an example of this from our father Abram. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram traveled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord, who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. This is the word of our Lord. In response, we turn to hymn 453. The choir will sing the first three verses, and we'll join in singing verses 4 and 5. Dear friends, do you have a similar zeal which the Apostle Paul expressed here in our second reading from Philippians chapter 3? He writes, "If someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead." The word of the Lord. Please rise for the gospel reading. Taken from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the 14th chapter, pointing out the fact that there is no middle ground when it comes to Jesus and us. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated as we continue with our hymn of the day, hymn 437. Thank you. grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father, and this through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We want to focus in on the gospel reading for today, where we hear these words about commitment. Those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. This is God's word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who has called us to be committed to him now and into eternity. How are you at the sight of blood? Whether it be someone else's blood or maybe even your own blood. Some people can handle the sight of other people's blood, but they can't handle their own blood. If you can't handle the sight of blood, what profession maybe should you not go into? Perhaps the medical profession? Being an EMT, a veterinarian, and so forth. How are you when it comes to sports and your team of choice? Do you consider yourself to be a fair-weather fan, or are you truly committed to your team? You know, it wasn't easy being a Cub fan for all those years when they were going through drought after drought after drought. So whether it be in the medical field, or whether it be a Cub fan or any other sport fan, such things are not for the faint of heart, are they? You take it seriously. How about investments? Are investments short and or long term, especially, are such for the faint of heart? Do you panic at the first moment of a downturn? Or do you investigate a little bit more and realize we're in this for the long haul? Or maybe we need to be smart and realize this investment may not be for us. Not so much because we're not strong in heart, but because we don't want to be foolish with the investments that God has given to us. How about when it comes to relationships? Are relationships for the faint of heart? How about friendships through the thick and thin? Friendships, in a way, then also are not for the faint of heart. And also, marriage in particular, a great relationship that God has put before us, not for the faint of heart, as you go through the ups and downs and realize it's not about me in marriage. In fact, it never really was about you, even before marriage. And how about when it comes to having a relationship with God, a relationship in particular through Jesus Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life to God the Father? Is that for the faint of heart? Jesus makes it pretty clear in our gospel reading for today, and actually throughout our readings through the summer months based on the Gospel of Luke, that believing is not for the faint of heart. And Jesus points out why. Jesus points out, as followers of Jesus, we are to count the costs, and he lays out what those costs could be. But he also points out that the cost of following Jesus, well, it pays great dividends. And so, dear friends, believing in Jesus is not for the faint of heart. Are you faint of heart or not? Something to ask yourself as we dig a little deeper into these words of Jesus before us. We hear that there are large crowds following Jesus, this great master teacher. People were wowed, and rightly so, by the teachings of Jesus. He was talking fresh in a way to them, because he wasn't focused on what they had to do to get right with God, but rather focused on this promised Messiah and he claiming to be that Messiah. That was fresh to them. They were not being beat down by the law through Jesus, but rather just the opposite, how the law was there to help them, to guide them, and to show them their great need for that promised Messiah. the proof of who he said he was, not only in the teachings that were prophesied by the prophets, but also in the miracles that he performed. And so there were people following Jesus, not just for his teachings, but also for the miracles. At this point in time, Jesus sees those very well who were just following him because of some great miracle they might catch, or those who are following him because they truly believe in him. And so really to both camps, he says the following words. If you're going to continue following me, recognize that it does come with some costs. Your relationships may have to change. Now he uses the word hate. You must hate your mother and father and brother and sister and uncle and aunt and so forth. Not in a malicious way, but rather emphasizing the priority that you need to have in life. Because we have seen too often, have we not, what happens when we put other relationships, human relationships, in front of our relationship with God? A spouse who is not all that complimentary when it comes to our beliefs in Jesus. We want to appease that spouse, and so on occasion then we will skip Jesus, or we will maybe get a little drunk, or maybe we'll do things we know we shouldn't, but we want to make our spouse happy, right? What happens to our relationship with Jesus when we start doing things we should not be doing, when we start disconnecting ourselves to Jesus through his word? Well, pretty soon that relationship is gone. The one thing needful relationship. Jesus knows indeed what he's talking about. He's not talking in harsh language, but rather reality. Whoever does not put God first and foremost and emphasize that throughout their life, you're going to end up falling away from Jesus or not even getting connected to Jesus. And you're going to miss out on all that Jesus has to offer people here on this side of heaven and for all eternity. Count the cost, Jesus says. Not just when it comes to personal relationships, but also count the cost when it comes to examining yourself. There are internal pressures that we have to deal with when it comes to following Jesus. There are doubts that we have in our mind. We're human beings. We doubt at times, and Satan is good at exploiting those doubts. Does God really love me when we're going through a difficult time, when life is not going the way I had planned it to go? When we forget what James says about life, that it's a mist, it's here one moment and gone the next? Keeping in mind the fact that by nature we're not inclined toward God, rather just the opposite. We're not neutral toward him either. We're enemies of God. We're dead in sin. And then there's external influences outside of family, maybe pressuring us to disconnect with Jesus. Satan himself is good, as we said, not only exploiting our doubts, but just putting pressures in front of us. Ephesians 6 points out there is a battle taking place for your soul, one that we're not even visible to, but the Lord makes us alert that it is happening. Do we give thought to that battle taking place for your soul? And those external influences become visible at times as maybe we're in high school or college, and then the peer pressure again to do the things we know we shouldn't not do, take a relationship too far, or cheating an exam to get ahead, or do a little drugs to make us feel better, so we are told. And life will never be the same again. External pressures are out there. And so Jesus says, count the cost. Be aware of the internal and the external pressures for you to deny your relationship with Jesus, to have it cut off from Jesus. And to help you then count those costs and to be ready for those pressures and to not give in to those pressures, Jesus encourages what we need to do. We need to take time to remain invested in Him, and we do that by taking the time to remain invested in His Word. Confirmation, catechism classes leading up to confirmation. How many view those classes and confirmation as the end? We made it. Check. Rather than just another stepping stone in our relationship with Jesus and on the road to heaven. Catechism and confirmation are there to prepare us even more for the next phase in life when those pressures are going to kick in even more. God knows that. And He provided His church with the means to build up the youth. Parents have that ultimate responsibility to nurture their children in the Lord, to set the example for. But how many times are parents not setting the proper example, but rather just the opposite for their children? And so confirmation is a time to help build a more solid foundation, knowing those pressures are going to come. But if we don't stay connected to the Word when those pressures are becoming hot and heavy in high school and college, what's going to happen? We see it happening too often, don't we? And it's not new to our generation, but the generations before us. And unfortunately, if something doesn't change, it's going to happen to the generations after us until the Lord brings this world to an end. That people are going to see confirmation as an end and not a continuation. Do teams win championships with half-hearted commitment? No. Are we going to stay on the path to heaven and remain through that narrow door that Jesus talked about earlier? Are we going to be able to stay committed to Jesus with just a half-hearted commitment? What does the Lord say in Revelation, for example? I wish you were cold or hot, not lukewarm. You can't be one or the other. You can't be cold for Jesus during the week and then hot for Him 1 hour on Sunday, because that cold's going to take over. And then one day you wake up, lost your way. It takes commitment. And in confirmation, we make such a commitment, a promise that we are willing to forsake everything. We're even willing to face death on account of Christ rather than walk away from Him. And that promise is not just for confirmation day. It's a promise that we are to take seriously each and every day. Be faithful to the point of death, the Lord says. And I, the Lord, will give you the crown of life, because He knows the threats and the pressures that are out there trying to take us away from Christ and the victory that He has won for us. But if we stay connected to Him through the Word, we truly are those conquerors, that nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. So Jesus points out, as you stay connected to Him through the Word, it pays dividends. Count the cost. The cost of following Jesus far outweigh whatever temporary gain we think we might have if we follow the ways of the world. How many people are struggling with guilt in their life? They know they've done something wrong, but like King David at first with his affair and murder, didn't come clean. And so his bones wasted away. Guilt eats away at us. How many people are being eaten away internally and externally because of guilt? They're lashing out at other relationships. They're abusing their body, trying to find a way to deal with their guilt rather than dealing the way that Nathan finally pointed out to David. Admit your guilt and realize that that guilt has been satisfied by the Messiah through His sacrifice. Count the costs. Following Jesus pays dividends, a peace that transcends all understanding, a peace that has been gained for us and given to us as Jesus lived the perfect life for us and took that perfect life to the cross for us. He said, "It is finished. Your sins are completely paid for." And through the work of the Holy Spirit and the means of grace, gives us that not guilty verdict so that we can, when guilt comes, deal with it in a way that won't eat us up, but rather just the opposite, wash over us and free us from that guilt and stain. It pays dividends. Not just in the forgiveness of sins, but also what comes with it, a new attitude, a desire to live in God's ways. Knowing that, again, short-term gain for the ways of this world, it's not worth it. But standing up for what is right, even when it's not popular, taking on that ridicule and that abuse and that persecution, and as many of our fellow believers across the world have experienced death for standing up for what is right in God's sight, that pays dividends. And the ability to stand up, to have that courage in the face of strong opposition, that comes through the Holy Spirit. And that comes as we stay connected to the Word. Apart from the Word, we cannot bear such fruit. And so the reminder to not give up meeting together, but to encourage one another. Forgiveness of sins, dividends. New attitude, courage, dividend. And then eternal life. Again, what here on earth can outweigh the gift of eternal life? Paradise amongst paradise. California is a beautiful state, but heaven's even more beautiful. No hail bales flying in the air in heaven. Following Christ comes with dividends. And so, dear friends, day in and day out, count the cost of following Jesus. And remember that believing in Jesus is not for the faint of heart. And He is the one who has given you a heart in Him. And He is the one through the means of grace continues to keep that heart firm and strong and convicted in Him. Society today, it is the way it is. Not because God is absent from us, but rather because we as a society have become absent from God. And all the more reason then for you and I to be the salt and the light that God is called us to be and equips us to be in this world. To tell people the source of inner peace. To tell people the way to live life. Not because they have to do it this way, but because they want to, because of the benefits that come with it. That is the salt and light we need in this world. So that more people will call in the name of the Lord. And what happens then? They'll be saved. And isn't ultimately why we're here? To share that message of salvation with people? But how can they hear unless we go? And how can they take us seriously if we don't live our life? Counting the costs. Remembering that believing in Jesus is not for the faint of heart. The world does need you, though the world may not think so. Jesus has prepared you for this moment in our history. You, dear children of God, are not faint in heart, but rather just the opposite. Go boldly today and every day with Jesus in the lead, our leader. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our fearless leader. Amen. Let's confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene, page 7. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through Him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, He came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became fully human. For our sake He was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, He rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. We pray. Lord, you love the cheerful giver, who with open heart and hand blesses freely as a river that refreshes all the land. Grant us then the grace of giving, with a spirit large and true, that our life and all our living we may consecrate to you. Amen. We continue with the prayer of the church. O Holy Spirit, come to us with your comforting word, which alone can drive away our doubts. Direct us to our Savior, Jesus, that we may trust in him with our whole heart. Give us caring hearts, Lord, to love and seek the lost. Overcome our fears and grant us courage to share our hope of salvation with those who have no hope. Make us faithful in our daily life so that all we say and do may glorify you.
Gracious God, all that we have comes from you. Our body and mind, our strength and intelligence, our time and abilities, our energy and possessions. Guard us from the temptation to use these gifts only for our personal benefit. Make us willing to use them joyfully in service to you and to your people.
Lord, continue to refresh the bodies and souls of Daniel Johnson and Carrie Schwieger as they recover from major medical procedures, along with Judy Washburn, who is scheduled to have a procedure this coming week. Bring healing to everyone among our family who is going through medical, emotional, and/or spiritual troubles. Lord, help our state and local governments find workable solutions to the homeless situation our state and cities face. Individually, help us show care and compassion in ways that fit for each of us as we seek the well-being and safety of all human life. Continue to watch over the coming and going of those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth. And for those celebrating a wedding anniversary, renew the couple's love for each other as they reflect on the love you have for them. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Lord Jesus, teach us to love others as you have loved us. Help us be more patient and alert to the needs of others, and always ready to serve them with the gifts you have given us.
Amen.
Please rise for the sacrament. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, almighty and everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who has called us to be his own, so that we may live under him in his kingdom and serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Blessed are you, O Lord of heaven and earth. We praise and thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ. And we remember the great acts of love through which he has ransomed us from sin, death, and the devil's power. By his incarnation, he became one with us. By his perfect life, he fulfilled your holy will. By his innocent death, he overcame hell. By his rising from the grave, he opened heaven. Invited by your grace and instructed by your word, we approach your table with repentant and joyful hearts. Strengthen us through Christ's body and blood, and preserve us in the true faith until we feast with him and all his ransomed people in glory everlasting.
Amen.
And we also pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen. Thank you.
Please stand as we continue with the Song of Simeon. We give you thanks, O Lord, for the foretaste of the heavenly banquet that you have given us to eat and to drink in this sacrament. Through this gift, you have fed our faith, nourished our hope, and strengthened our love. By your Spirit, help us to live as your holy people until that day when you will receive us as your guests at the wedding supper of the Lamb, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
And again, just to highlight a few things, Bible study is taking place this morning, the last session of Come Lord Jesus here in the church sanctuary, and New Life in Christ is also wrapping up. That'll be taking place. They've been meeting in the Luther room, correct? So that'll take place in the Luther room across the way. Teens class and Sunday school class meeting in their normal rooms. Membership class, if you're interested in the membership here at St. Mark's, or a review of basic doctrines. That class continues, the foundation class continues here on Sunday evenings, 5 o'clock. Keep in mind the Mornings with Mommy, the invite. You can read more about it on the information board and on the news and on the website. Special emphasis on the 13th of October, we're having a mission emphasis. Pastor Peter Krushel, the former mission counselor to our district, will be among us to share God's word and encourage us in our work of being missionaries for the Lord. And speaking of missionary work and encouragement, the LWMS rally is here on the 19th. We're serving as host, so keep that in mind. Men and women are welcome to this rally. It's a good opportunity to learn more about the mission work that we do throughout the world. See the weekly news for other events that are taking place, going on, happenings here at church, and something else that's going on. Mr. Thiesfeld, our principal, will have that announcement. Have a great day.
Good morning, everyone. You know, our school year is off to a good start. We've already completed 6 weeks, so I suppose we could say we're into our routines. And as always, we like to thank the members of St. Mark's for their support and their prayers, the generous support that you provide so that we can operate a school where God is at the center of all things, and we bring children up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So we have our routines, you know, teachers teach, students learn. But there's something special about this year. Do you know what it is? 50 years. 50 years of Christian education at St. Mark's. And we have been planning for a special celebration weekend for the week. And that weekend is going to be November 8, 9, and 10. I want to tell you a few things about that weekend coming up. Friday, November 8, there's going to be a social hosted by Mike and Kelly Rausch. And that's for alumni, teachers, friends, anybody that loves the school is invited to come to Rausch's for that. That's on Friday evening. Secondly, big event on Saturday, November 9, we're going to have an anniversary gala. And really what it is it's an event to show support for our school. But a lot of things will go on with that gala. It's going to be a dinner, an auction, costume masquerade, dessert dash, and some entertainment and speakers. A lot of things will happen, and we hope that you'll be able to join us. And that's going to be in the gymnasium starting at 6 o'clock on Saturday, November 9th. Then on Sunday, November 10th, worship services on that day will focus on the anniversary, 50 years of grace, and then we'll have a potluck in the gymnasium. So that's a big weekend when we want to remember what God has done for us through our school, and we hope that you can make plans to join us. Now, that's a lot of information, and maybe somebody is thinking a question that we love to hear, and that question is, how can I help? How can you help with that? We need donations for our auction. We need donations. If you have something that you could provide, or if you can even go out and solicit donations from someone you know who's in business or someone who has something that might work for a gift that we could use for the auction, please contact me, contact Pam Schlittenhart. There are a couple of other people on our committee that are planning this event, the gala, and we need donations. So that's one way that you can help. The other way that you can help is just by attending and showing your support. So that's a lot of information that I just gave you. And when you leave church this morning, out in the lobby, outside of each door, there will be people handing out invitations. And they're in little packets, and it's information. They include information about the anniversary weekend. So again, we're excited about this. We're thankful to God for our school, 50 years of grace at St. Mark's School. Thanks for listening. God bless your day and your week.